And welcome back to the show. Rob, you have a question.
Yeah, I do. We've been talking about videotaping, and which leads us to accountability and transparency. And one of the things that I know you guys have been in the news about recently was the township budget and concerns around transparency and openness and accessibility to the process. I'm wondering if you guys could tell us what were those concerns and how were they answered?
Well, there's many concerns through this whole budget process. The lack of transparency, the lack of openness. There was, obviously some in defense of the council and the parties at the township office. There was a definite effort made. I can't look at the past that maybe John could bring to the forefront, but there was definitely some efforts made to, include the citizens, the ratepayers. But the actual process itself as a taxpayer, I felt very, hidden behind the scenes.
Can you give us a concrete example? It doesn't have to be a lot, just one or two examples of where you felt you were being stonewalled?
Or out of the loop, maybe.
I would defer that question to John. He's got some pretty hard evidence.
he's got specifics, we'll say.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I think going back to what Vince was saying, council had to hire another treasurer. That treasurer is behind the eight ball coming forward. The budget process was hadn't been started yet. They had a financial committee already set up. They were trying to advance as well as they could, as best they could at the time. So therefore, it was up to the treasurer now to do catch up when he got there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very difficult to. It was kind of a confusing issue because the treasurer wasn't used to the so-called process of how Hamilton Township did work in a certain aspect.
Mm-hmm.
But the mayor was already there to guide him. So and council. So I think what happened was it got very confusing. It got very muddy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think next year, when the budget items do come up, I think the Citizens Council will be involved and say, okay, we'd like to be part of this process. And like Vince said, it has to be more open and transparent.
Mm-hmm.
There are committee meetings that are held prior to, and everybody submits their wish lists. And then from there, they tear it apart and say, okay, this we're going to bring forward to council.
So those are committees of – those are staff committees, though, right?
Staff committees, yeah, public works. And
so as far as public input is concerned, I mean, I know when we do public – I mean, we've had budget consultation things in Coburg before, and the only people who ever show up are media people. I remember the last few years, my wife and I and a couple of representatives of the media have been the only people there. So, because the problem is people can't show up. Now, a lot of times they have consultations. They'll say, yeah, we're going to have consultations, but it's going to happen at 1 o'clock in the afternoon until 3. Well, people are at work, right? So everyone has a life. So to the point you're making, though, about the wish lists, I mean, that's from staff, right?
Yes.
Staff would like a new truck or they would like some new hoses or whatever they need. That's great from them. But what are they hearing in terms of a wish list from citizens? Is there an access way? Is there a causeway for citizens to go and say to the council, well, you've got staff's wish list. Here's our wish list. Is that even part of the process?
No, it's not part of the process. And that where Rob's point comes in, where you have to be involved through the process of where citizens can actually get involved and say, okay, set up a website, set up a certain part of that website that says, okay, citizens' comments on public works, let's say. Let's use them for an example.
Mm-hmm.
What about purchasing of trucks? What about the asphalt? What about the so-called tar and chip program? What roads do you feel really are necessary to be done? We've had many citizens come to us and say, okay, my road is disgusting, but why are they doing this road down here that doesn't need? But it can be explained by the public works directors to say, okay, the road is being undermined or something's happening here
to replace it.
So, so therefore, the public do get that so-called communication going with the public works director or whomever's in charge at that
mm-hmm.
time. So therefore, you get a better understanding of what's taking place. But there should be some kind of process through the mechanism of computers to say, okay, or translation through them to say, what is happening? Our wish list. Here's
what did
wish
they
list.
Have? Now, you were on council previously. What did they have when you were on council? Was there nothing at that point either?
Nothing, other than the fact they had the budgetary program where mm-hmm. people come in and listen. They didn't partake in it. They had no say whatsoever in it. They could phone you later on and say, I disagree with what's taking mm-hmm. place. But you're only one of four or five.
Why didn't you introduce these things before while you were on council? I mean, you had an opportunity as a council member to lay the groundwork for all of this.
You could, yes. But at that time, it wasn't even basically on the table at any given time.
The other thing, too, is interesting. When we're looking at specifics, I know that shared services was a huge issue surrounding the budget. And Mayor Lovshin talked about 150 shared services. What was the response that you got when you asked that question?
That's a really good question. We never really got any response to that in you know, true evidence. What are these 150 cost saving measures,
mm-hmm.
and what were they? We actually were given the opportunity to meet with the mayor, and that question I believe came up, and you know, it was stick handled around and stonewalled.
So you never received a clear answer then from
really,
the mayor?
No. I don't feel as a taxpayer that I got a clear answer.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe John can fill in.
Do you know what those shared services consist of? Like, what are those shared services?
Well, this all started with the so-called treasurers and CAOs met at the county level from all the seven municipalities in Northumberland County. And they come up with a cost-sharing measures to say, okay, how are we going to, if we have to purchase 4 kilometers of asphalt and you need two and we need two and you need, you know, you have one, let's say, or that's up to five. But you turn around and say, okay, we can do this and say cost share and save money. But in the long run, who actually saved money? There's no actual figures. If you had a spreadsheet there to say, okay, yeah. Hamilton Township had 1 kilometer of paving done, and they saved themselves $40,000 because they cost shared with Crammy or they cost shared with Hope Township or Port Hope, then you can actually have it on paper, mm-hmm. saying you did save the $40,000.
Right.
There was no actual figures given out. There's nothing there.
But doesn't usually municipalities, when they do that, if they can save so much, let's say they save half the cars and they're going to do 1 kilometer, then they say to themselves, oh, well, instead of doing 1 kilometer, let's do 2 and we'll spend the full budget. Isn't that usually the process that these guys take? They usually don't look at it in terms of saving money. Well, we'll just do the kilometer. They see it as being, okay, since it's only going to cost us half, let's do more and use up the entire budget.
Well, if that's the case, though, like identify it. Identify it in the budget that this mm-hmm. is what – here's the shared service mm-hmm. savings yep. that the township's going to receive. Here are the items that we're going to uh-huh. save on. None of that was brought forward.
And
so as a taxpayer, you feel like you're in the dark.
Another thing that came up, though, was all these other groups that the township participates in financially. So there's the GRCA, the public health unit, the county level itself. There were a lot of concerns raised around those. Could you maybe articulate some of those concerns and what you're worried about as it pertains to Hamilton?
Well, what happens in the process, these are separate boards from mm-hmm. council itself. So they're sitting on each municipality is represented on these boards, whether it be the Gander Asker or the health unit or whatever it is. And they pass their own budgets. Now, for some reason through the past history, these budgets never been brought back to council to say, what do you think or what the citizens think of our budget? Do we have the proper process in place? Are we going to manage it properly? The mayors or whomever is the representative of council goes in there, passes the budget, and brings it back, says, oh, by the way, here's what we're asking for at this certain level. Mm-hmm. And council has no say. The citizens have no say.
Would you then, by doing that, create additional layers of bureaucracy, maybe drag out processes into longer discussions, more time, rather than allowing them to act efficiently?
I think you're probably correct in that, Rob. But I feel it's necessary, though, for council itself to have some kind of input with the mayor. If the mayor brings it back, or let's say the mayor is the one sitting on the board, if the mayor can bring it back and say, okay, this is what we're doing at this level mm-hmm. on this committee or this board.
Do we all agree with it or
yeah.
not?
And he can get his input from his council. If 3 council members say, yeah, it's a great idea, and the 4th goes, no, it's not a good idea, well, at least 3 have said yes.
Mm-hmm.
But you can express your opinions to let the people know, mm-hmm. even though he'll go back to the board and say, okay, I did have 3 say no, but one said, or 3 say yes and 1 said no, but it's still going to pass and they're happy.
Well, I guess part of the problem, though, is that these boards want an answer within a week of their vote. I don't know how often those boards meet, but they may, in fact, meet more often than the council meets, which means that in order for that board to get a decision, they've got to wait for that month again. It's the same dilemma that people have if they're trying to monitor council. So maybe that's added to some of the roadblock. Because I know that in Coburg, for instance, when you've got, and I don't know what happens with the GRCA or the health unit, but, you know, when organizations come to the town and say, we'd like to get money from you, which they do every year, right, whether it's the concert band or whoever it is, and that's all included in a line item in the budget. They know that XYZ association came to us, whether it's the Lions, whoever, and we gave them, and that's a line in the budget. But in terms of how much money they're giving to the GRCA or the health unit, nobody knows about that until the budget's already been passed, from what I understand. This is what I'm getting from you. Yeah. And that all of a sudden, when the budget gets passed, oh, by the way, these things are also in that. Well, how come they weren't available before? Why weren't they a line item?
Well, it's really interesting, too, because at Coburg, they have reports from the politicians, and I think it's at the full meetings. And they'll often say, you know, I attended the GRCA. Mm-hmm. Here's the things we're discussing. And then people would kind of go back and forth wanted to. Sounds to me like that's not taking place in Hamilton. Is that correct?
Not at all. None of that happens. And if there is any background committee meetings, mm-hmm, or councillor meetings, we, as taxpayers, we never hear about it.
Mm-hmm. I know the county represents a particularly sensitive issue to your group, and I know that you are aiming more at Hamilton Township and what goes on there, but could you explain a bit about some of your concerns around the county and what's going on at the county?
Is there a specific question?
Well, I just know that when they did in their newsletter a lengthy interview with the mayor. And one of the things that they talked about at length were a number of things related to the county, particularly budget things, but some other things as well. So I'll let them decide on what things they feel are so important that they want to become involved with the county.
I think on the onset, Rob, what took place at the very beginning, what drew our attention to this whole thing at the county level, was the fact that the county passed a 5-year plan that they'd start off at a 2.5% increase in the tax base. Mm-hmm. That to me is a huge amount of money when it comes down to your own taxes. Plus you're going to unpack on top of that. Plus you have your own municipal taxes. Mm-hmm. So when you look at that at 2.5%, I'm thinking, well, jeepers, how high is it really going to go? They tried to keep it down as low as they could this year, but I still think it added up to 3.9% at the county level, which, mm-hmm, I think is out of control to a point. The expenditures that are happening here, what they're going and we could probably talk for hours on this whole topic. The expenditures that they go through and the replacement of vehicles and the staff and whatever, it all adds up after a while. Do we really need all this?
Mm-hmm.
Do we really want all this? We don't know, and I don't think anybody's really did an actual study to, mm-hmm, say whether it's actually viable or not, mm-hmm, but whether it's actually working or not. But it, mm-hmm, seems the expenditures keep going up and up every year.
The other side, and Dave, you mentioned this earlier at break, you know, the Coburg and Port Hope, if you will, they have a good commercial tax base. Hamilton Township, we only have a few commercial businesses. So that tax base is not really available to us as, mm-hmm, a township.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it falls on the backs of the taxpayer, you know, mom and dad going to work every day. So that's another big concern for us as the CCHT. It's a tough thing to swallow when you pass, for example, in the last budget, they approved, John, about a $264,000 expenditure to buy a, mm-hmm, a four-wheeled rubber-tired excavator.
No, that was the township or the...
That was the township. County? Now, yeah. I know they already have one. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to buy a new one, or they bought it. I think it showed up today. And I drove down the Dale Road this afternoon, and I saw the county with a brand new four-wheel drive. So I don't know how many ditches we're going to dig this year and how many people are going to – but, you know, who's paying for all that? And that's the big, mm-hmm, question here. And can we share some of these services with the other seven municipalities? Can brushing be done during the wintertime? You know, there's all kinds of solutions, I think. Mm-hmm. And so the question as taxpayers, again, are we doing the right things? Are we keeping our expenses in line? Are we doing things in an appropriate manner that's cost effective for, mm-hmm, everybody? You know, income doesn't go up that kind of money every,
mm-hmm,
year.
Mm-hmm.
Cost of living, 2.5%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our taxes keep just going up. I think myself personally, in 20 years, I'm at 6 times what I used to pay in 96.
Wow. So is amalgamation a solution? Maybe when we come back, we could talk about
that. That's an interesting question. Is amalgamation a solution? By the way, the lines are open. We are taking your calls at 905-372-2321 or 905-372-2391. I'm Dave Glover. You are listening to Canada's only holistic political chat. My guests in studio are Vince McGovern and John Davison of the Citizens Council of Hamilton Township.
Canadian singer-songwriter Juno Award winner Valdi is coming to Coburg for one night only. June the 11th at the Columbus Community Center, 232 Spencer Street East. Northumberland 89.7 and the Woodlawn Inn present Baldy, along with special guest Jack London and his tribute to John Denver and Glenn Campbell. Come join us for such classics as Rock and Roll Song, Peter and Lou, The Good Song, and many others. Tickets are $30, available at Zap Records, 45 King Street East, and the Coburg Hospital.
Northumberland Security has provided security solutions for over 38 years. From transponder car keys, alarm systems, surveillance systems, and handicapped door operators, they cover Pickering to Peterborough to Picton and everywhere in between. Northumberland Security prides itself on providing a comprehensive selection of personal and property protection at affordable prices with fast, courteous, and reliable 24-hour service. Located at 22 King Street West, Coburg. Call 905-372-8951 or visit NorthumberlandSecurity.com, the professional security team.
In your face, all over the place. We're online 24/7.
Northumberland89.7.ca.
And welcome back. Now, you dropped the A-bomb before the break there with the discussion of possible amalgamation, if that's a way to save services. But during the break, we talked about the county, because the reality from my perspective as a taxpayer and a resident of Coburg is that there are a lot of decisions being made on behalf of all the municipalities within the county. The decisions are being made at county council. There is no oversight, as far as I can see. There is no public access to what happens at county council. You may get a report, you may not. Depends on how someone feels that day. I mean, there's a lot of decisions being made at council, county council, quite frankly, that roll down to the smaller municipalities. Now, Coburg and Port Hope, maybe we can pick up the freight on whatever gets dropped to us because we have a larger tax base, per se. But the other areas, Crammy, for instance, all in Haldeman, and even in Hamilton Township, when something gets dropped down on you guys, you pretty much just got to pay the bill.
That's correct.
You know, it's like the county decided when the check came that they were going to go to the washroom and someone had to bring out their credit card.
So, what do you guys think about the notion of maybe amalgamation?
Well, back a few years ago, Rob, that issue was brought up before county council. Mayor Lovshin, I believe Mayor Lovshin made the motion that they review or look into amalgamation annexation across the county. And I believe it was seconded by Mayor Linda Thompson. Mm-hmm. At that time, it was a very shocking experience for me as a council member and as a citizen of Hamilton Township to hear those words. That motion has not been taken off the books. It's still open and it's alive. So at any given time, if the process takes place, which we will have a lot of input on, mm-hmm. it is still live.
Like it's just a matter of they just have to vote on it. There's already a motion on the floor.
Correct.
Been motioned, seconded. Now at this point, we're at the, 3-4 years into discussion on that particular motion, perhaps, or it's just gone the way of the buggy whip for now. But at this point, it's still, as you say, a very active motion on the floor.
But is it something your organization is prepared to support?
Absolutely not.
No.
And why not, though? I mean, you're concerned about the amount that's being spent. You're concerned about accountability. Duplication of services was something else that you mentioned.
How about the increase in taxes?
Things. Why not just one level of government? Therefore, we, you know, one tax, one everything, all services are shared. You get the commercial base thrown in there, take some relief off of your property tax. Doesn't it make sense, gentlemen? Why so opposed?
Well, it does make sense when you talk about it in words. But the reality is, when it comes down to actually doing it, we have found other municipalities said don't even go there because it is so toxic and it is so unfit to do that because your tax base will basically skyrocket. And anybody to the north, which we are to the north of the 401, mm-hmm. will suffer the consequences. Well, your services deplete.
I think the people of Hope Township could probably echo that because their concerns have never been fully addressed. We know amalgamation with Port Hope happened. It was driven down their throats. There's some concern now about some monies that were given to the two municipalities prior to amalgamation. Questions about what happened with that. So there never seems to be a clear path to amalgamation. This is the problem I think a lot of people have. This is why it's such an emotional issue. Because as you say, on paper, yeah, it looks reasonable. If you have this many people and you're all paying this much, this is what the tax base is going to be. Sounds really good. Except it doesn't end up working that way. People in Hope Township are constantly decrying the fact that their taxes are going up because of services that are being provided in the town proper. The town proper is very happy with the fact that they are sharing those expenses with the municipality to their north because it means less of a burden for the town, if you will, tax base. But the people in the north, the people in Hamilton Township or in Hope Township, who are now Ward 2 of Port Hope, are they're all saying the same thing. You know, we're getting the short shrift here. I know when they brought in speed limits for the municipality, people were upset about the speed limits that were extended. All kinds of other things that were happening that they felt as though they were paying for and just not getting to, in the words of Sheila Fraser, any value for their tax dollar. Is that the concern?
Yes, that's a concern of all of our Citizens Council.
So one of the things that you guys talked about earlier was shared services. This is one way that it's sort of amalgamation light, where we all come together and we all work cooperatively to purchase asphalt or toilet paper or whatever it is that they purchase in bulk and then the municipalities divvy it up. But Hamilton Township has not always been comfortable with these shared agreements. I know the library sometimes can be a bit of a hot button issue. Policing is another hot button issue. What are the things, I mean, that you guys are advocating for as an organization to see in terms of reducing in this area? Because we talked about it a bit earlier.
Do you have a wish list, I guess? Maybe is probably a good way of putting that.
Like Dave says, do you have a wish list of things that you would like to see shared to get costs down due to efficiencies?
Rob, I think shared services could work, but in the current scenario, we don't have open governance, transparency. We don't have the complete story, if you will, as taxpayers to make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
When people get upset about things, it's because they know about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to get upset about something when you don't know what's happening. And so stuff comes down from the county level to the township. Mm-hmm. It gets hidden or it gets dropped underneath the desk somewhere, and you never hear about it. And the next thing you know, you see your taxes going up. So I think shared services in some ways can work, but in a lot of ways in the township, I don't think it's going to work.
This whole issue of transparency, then, we've mentioned it a couple of times. We just had an investigation recently. I wonder if you could talk a bit about the investigation that was done by the ombudsman and what the results of that were.
How that started, maybe, John? And
please, could you tell us the whole story? Because I understand it's
Well, I know we have limited time here, but I'll try my best.
How about the Reader Digest version?
Okay, the Reader Digest version. What happened was council met back in I believe it was March of 2015 or maybe even before that. And council kept coming in and out of closed session. Mm-hmm. It kept coming in and out, in and out, in and out. And I picked up on that. I thought, this is kind of odd, because when they came out of closed session, there was no discussion. They just ended the closed session and went on with business and then closed it out and it was done.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, well, that's kind of odd.
Mm-hmm.
So once I went back and I got the information on the expenditures of council, like mm-hmm. each member of council, went back in there, and then I found that on the 5th of March in 2015, the mayor spoke to legal counsel in Belleville. He took a trip to Belleville and spoke to legal counsel. And then on the 12th of March, I asked the question, why did council extend their session and not disclose any resolution? And then on the 31st of March 2015, I believe it was the mayor and in company with other members, went to the office of Mr. Doug Thompson, and he was fired without any resolution from council or any bylaw, anything at all. So then, shortly thereafter, on the 17th of April, Mayor Lovshin and another councillor attended the lawyer's office in Belleville.
Mm-hmm.
From there, the citizen's complaint went in about the closed session, and Amberly Gavel, which is the integrity commissioners for the township, came down and did an investigation, and it took 4 months
mm-hmm.
to complete.
Mm-hmm.
From the 4 months, it came back in, I think it was around December, late December, early January, and it was supposed to be placed on the agenda on the 19th of January 2016. I was guaranteed that. Then I was told in a council meeting that this report is in review or being investigated by the township itself, and I can't figure out why the township would do their own personal investigation when an outside agency came in and did their own
mm-hmm.
analysis.
Mm-hmm.
And out of that, Amberly Gavel came up with 4 recommendations in the report. They found that council did break the procedural bylaw and they did breach the Municipal Act, mm-hmm. and they come up with 4 recommendations. Now, since those recommendations came forward, and it only came forward through myself receiving the report, because I receive a copy of that through the mm-hmm. municipality as being the complainant. So what happened was the council put it in the communication sector of the agenda. In other words, they tried to bury it. They received all the communication. It didn't come out. It wasn't discussed. No mm-hmm. council member asked for it to be discussed. They never brought it forward.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is very disturbing. If there's four recommendations that the council should proceed with, then the mayor should be the one that's the leader of the municipality and say, okay, we have recommendations here from Amber to Gavel.
Mm-hmm.
I know we did something wrong. So how can we correct this? How can mm-hmm. we move forward in correcting mm-hmm. this wrong that's taken place?
Because the mayor has said many times that he wants to have a transparent government. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a perfect example. Why is he not doing that?
Well, and that also comes to the next issue, which most people have, is about transparency, which is accountability. And we're going to talk about that when we come back from our last break of the hour. You're listening to The Drive Time, Canada's only holistic political chat. I'm Dave Glover. With me in studio, Rob Washburn, our regular co-host for consider-this.ca, and Vince McGovern and John Davison of the Citizens Council of Hamilton Township. We will be right back.